Well, good morning. I hope everybody's had a good weekend. Follow me. These may be the most simple yet most difficult words Jesus ever spoke. Jesus spoke these words to many people in the Bible, and he still speaks those words to us today. Today, I want to talk to you about being a totally committed follower of Jesus. Now, I know some of you here today have already committed your life to Jesus and are following him. You might be thinking that this message does not apply to you. But this message does, because some people that think they're following Jesus, if they took a closer look at their life, they would see that they are more of an admirer of Jesus than a totally committed follower. And Jesus did not call us to be his admirers. He called us to be his follower. So I want to take a look at what it means to be a totally committed follower, wherever, whenever, whatever. In Luke 9, chapter 9, verse 23 to 25, we read, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" I want you to notice two things about this passage. First, the invitation to follow Jesus is open to everyone. Jesus used the word anyone, if anyone would follow me. Anyone is an inclusive word. It does not exclude anyone. It leaves no one out. Jesus does not care what we've done with our life up to this point or where we're at in life right now. He doesn't care what sins we have committed. He wants us to follow him. Jesus is calling us to follow him. In the book of Revelation, we read that Jesus is standing at our heart, knocking at the door, saying, let me in, follow me. And you may be sitting there thinking, you know, that's easy for you to stand up there and say, but you don't know me. You don't know the things that I've done, or the sins I've committed, or the things that I'm struggling with right now. And you're right. I don't know what you've done, or what sins you've committed, or what you're struggling with. But Jesus does, and he still loves you no matter what you've done, no matter what you're struggling with. He wants you to follow him. And the second thing I want you to notice is that following Jesus is not a one-time decision. Notice that Jesus says we must daily take up our cross and follow him. So the requirement for following Jesus is that we make a daily, conscious decision to follow him. Now, this is not something we just do on Sundays. You know, it's good to follow Jesus on Sunday, but Jesus wants us to follow him every day of the week. And being a true follower of Jesus means that we choose to do this. And that takes true commitment. It's not easy to say every day, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. But he tells us that we need to take up our cross and come after him. But what does it mean to pick up our cross? What does it mean to take up the cross? It means that we die to our human nature every day. We die to ourself. We die to our ambitions, to our desires, and to our plans. We give them up and we follow Jesus. We give these desires over to him, and we make the decision to daily follow his ambitions, his desires, and his plans for our life. Now, Jesus never told us that this would be easy. He tells us that we should expect bumps along the way, that we should expect difficult times. Now, there are going to be days that are easier than others when it comes to following Jesus. But it's on those difficult days that our commitment is tested. It's on those days that Jesus wants to see if we're really going to follow him. During those difficult times, do we say to Jesus, you know what, I'm going to give up. I'm going to stop following you. This is just too hard. I'm going to go back to the old way of things that I did. Are we going to press on and continue to follow him? Further on in Luke 9, we're introduced to three people who are given the chance to follow Jesus. And later we're going to see if they make the decision to follow him or not. But first, they receive this invitation directly from Jesus. Now, how great would that be to have Jesus stand right next to you and say, come on, follow me. I wonder what these people thought. I wonder what went through their heads at this time. I wonder if they thought, wow, this is great. The Savior is calling me to follow Him. You know, if I do this, I get to walk with Him and talk with Him. I get to go where the Savior goes. I get to go and see and hear everything the Master does. What would we do? What would we say if Jesus were to walk through those doors right now and come up to us and say, come on, follow me? Would we jump up and go with Him right now and follow Him? Or would we sit there and say, you know what, I want to think about it for a while. I want to look at all my other options before I decide to follow you. I would hope that we would all get up and follow Him. But I'm afraid some of us would sit there and want to wait because we know it's going to cost us something when we follow Him. And we're not ready to pay that price. So in this part of Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62, we meet these three people. And this, the Bible says in verses 57 to 62, as they were going along the road, someone said to Him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. To another He said, follow Me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those in my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And we don't know the names of these three people, so I've decided to call them Mr. Whenever, Mr. Wherever, and Mr. Whatever. Now this first man, Mr. Wherever, comes up to Jesus and says, I will follow you wherever you go. Well, that sounds pretty impressive. This man sounds like he's ready to be a true follower of Jesus. He sounds like he's committed to going the distance. Sounds like he's ready to do whatever it takes to follow Jesus. But when Jesus turns and looks at him and tells him in verse 58, Jesus says, hey man, I'm homeless. This kind of stops Mr. Wherever right in his tracks. And Mr. Wherever, I would imagine, stops and looks at Jesus and says, excuse me, could you repeat that? Sounded to me like you said that you were homeless. And Jesus would have said, yeah, that's right, I am. You know, I go from place to place. I don't have a place to call my own. So are you still willing to follow me wherever? It turns out that Mr. Wherever wasn't ready to follow Jesus. He wasn't ready to take on the life of a homeless man and to follow Jesus wherever. Now I want you to understand that Jesus is not calling us to go home and sell our house and go live on the street. What he was doing was testing this man. He wanted to see if this man was truly willing to follow him wherever. He wanted him to come out of his comfort zone. And when we decide to follow Jesus, we too are going to be tested. Jesus wants us to follow him in every aspect of our life. So are we really willing to follow Jesus anywhere? Are we willing to follow him in our homes? Or do we tell Jesus, you know, Jesus, you stay here by the door when I go inside my house. You know, tomorrow when I come back out, I'll meet you out here again and then we can go for a walk. But inside the house, I don't want you there. Do the lives we live inside our homes reflect the life of a Jesus follower? Is our behavior at home the behavior of a Christ follower? What about at work? Do we follow Jesus while we're at work? Or do we ask Jesus to wait in the car or at the train station while we go to work? Do we tell Jesus, you know, do we say, sorry, Jesus, it makes me a little uncomfortable at work when you're there. You know, I don't really like to know that you're watching me work. It makes things awkward for me. Do our coworkers know that we follow Jesus? Or do our work habits reflect something else? Are we honest in our business dealings? Do we love our coworkers? Do we respect our boss? We can't say to Jesus, you know, I'm willing to follow you, but there are times when I want you to step to the side so I can do my own thing. Following Jesus is an all or nothing deal. Now compare this man's response to the response of Matthew. When Matthew is called by Jesus, what does he do? He gets up immediately and he follows Jesus. Now this was not an easy decision for Matthew. You see, Matthew had a good job. He was a tax collector and made lots of money doing that. He worked for the government, and I'm sure he had pretty good benefits working for the government. But he was willing to give that all up to follow Jesus. He was willing to give up his job and his home and take on the life of a homeless disciple. Are we willing to follow Jesus wherever he calls us? Now, after Mr. Wherever leaves, Mr. Whenever is called by Jesus. Again, we don't know his name, but I'm guessing we would have known his name if he chose to follow Jesus that day. But Jesus comes up to him and says, "Follow me." And notice what Mr. Whenever says in his response. He calls Jesus Lord. So clearly this man knew who Jesus was. And he was giving serious consideration to following Jesus that day. Except there was this one tiny little thing that was holding him back from following Jesus. That particular moment in time just wasn't a good time for him to start following Jesus. It was an inconvenient time. You see, he wanted to go home first, and he wanted to bury his father. That sounds fairly reasonable. I'm sure Jesus wouldn't object to this man wanting to go home and bury his father. But Jesus does object to that. Why does Jesus do that? He objects to that because this was just an excuse. A good excuse, but an excuse nonetheless. And as good as this excuse was, Jesus was not interested in hearing it. As important as this excuse was, it came up empty in the sight of Jesus. And see, the things that we see as important, the things that we feel are best for us, are not really that important to Jesus. Our excuses for following him are weak and shallow. And the funny thing about this conversation between Jesus and Mr. Whenever is that Mr. Whenever's father was most likely not even dead. It was his way of saying, "Let me wait a while before I follow you. Maybe once my dad is dead, then I'll follow you." He was looking for a more convenient time to begin following Jesus. Now, Jesus never told us that it would be convenient to follow him. And when we decide to follow Jesus, we need to be aware that it's going to be inconvenient. There are going to be times that we have to say no to our friends, no to our family, no to our job, because those things don't line up with following Jesus. Now, compare Mr. Whenever's response to the response of Peter. When Peter was called by Jesus, what did Peter do? Did he sit there in the boat and say, "You know, Jesus, that sounds good, but I want to weigh the pros and cons of following you. And, you know, could you come back next week? Because, really, we've been having a good week catching fish. We've never caught this many fish before. So I want to wait till we stop catching so many fish, and then I'll follow you." Is that what Peter said? No. Peter got up and got out of the boat immediately, and he followed Jesus. I'm sure this was not the most convenient time for Peter. I'm sure Peter would have rather waited until fishing season was over. I'm sure he wished Jesus would have waited till later to come and call him. But Peter made the best decision, and he followed Jesus. What about us? What's our excuse for not following Jesus? What's preventing us from following him today? You know, we have a tendency to treat following Jesus like a diet or exercise program. We say, "I'm going to start exercising and eating right tomorrow." And then tomorrow comes, and we say the same thing. "You know, tomorrow I'm going to start eating right. Tomorrow I'm going to take a walk." And the next day comes, and nothing happens. And the next day, and the next day. And guess what? Tomorrow never comes. We never start to eat right or exercise. And the same thing happens when we say tomorrow to Jesus. When we say, "I'll start following you tomorrow, Jesus," we miss out on the blessings that come with following him. We miss out on so much in life when we are not following Jesus. And my fear is that if we continue to say tomorrow to Jesus, or later, "Jesus, I'll follow you later," I'm afraid that later will turn into never. The invitation to follow Jesus has an RSVP of today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, but today, right now. Now is the time to surrender our secret sins to Jesus. Now is the time to give our struggles to Jesus. Now is the time to decide to be generous to those in need. Now is the time to go and meet our neighbors and let them know about the love of Jesus. Now is the time to let our coworkers know that we follow Jesus. Now is the time to join a Bible study and start serving here at church. Now is the time to begin to follow Jesus. It's time to stop making excuses and become a fully committed follower of Jesus. Now after Mr. Whenever leaves, Mr. Whatever comes up to Jesus. Now Mr. Whatever, he too says, you know what, Jesus, I'm ready to follow you. But Mr. Whatever had an excuse as well. See, he wanted to go home first and say goodbye to everyone at home. He wanted to go back and remember the things that he was going to be giving up to follow Jesus. Now, in those days, it was not as simple as just going home and saying goodbye, I'm off to follow Jesus. There would have been farewell parties. Friends and relatives would have come in and had parties for him. And these parties could have lasted several weeks. So it would have taken him time before he could have started to begin to follow Jesus. So he too was looking for a way to put off the decision to follow Jesus. What was Jesus' response to this man? Jesus says, don't look back. When a worker plowed the field in those days, he looked straight ahead. He didn't look back and admire his work while he was plowing, because if he did that, the lines of the field would have become crooked and the field would have been useless. His attention had to be what was in front of him, not what was behind. So what Jesus is saying here is that nothing can compete for our attention if we're going to follow him. If we're going to follow Jesus, then our sight needs to be on him, not on the things that we've left behind. We can't look from the world to Jesus and back and forth and back and forth. We need to be looking at Jesus. A follower of Jesus needs to be fully committed, no more looking back. Well, many times people say, you know, Jesus, I'm ready to follow you. But there's something in my life that I want to keep back for myself. I want to keep it separate from you. They want to keep it for themselves and not surrender it. They say, you know, Jesus, I'll give you 90% of my life, but the other 10% I want to keep for me, for myself, to do my own thing. I read recently an interesting baptism story that illustrates this point. When the Knights of Templar were baptized, they would take their swords down into the water with them. But when it came time to be immersed in the water, they took their sword and they held it up out of the water. They wouldn't take it under the water with them. It was their way of saying, Jesus, I'm going to give you my life, but not my sword. I get to keep my sword for myself to do what I want with it. You know, I'm going to use my sword however and whenever I want, but you can have the rest of me. Now, following Jesus doesn't work that way. We have to give it all to him, not just the parts that we're ready to let go of. Maybe it's not a sword that we're holding back from Jesus today. Maybe it's our wallet or our computer or entertainment choices. Maybe it's our job or our families or our ministry or maybe even our thoughts. Jesus does not want followers who have divided affections or those who want to split their time between following him and following the world. Jesus is looking at our life today and looking at what we see as important and what we think is best. And he's saying to us, what about that? Will you give that up to follow me? He's asking, what about your time? I give you 24 hours in a day. Do you think you could give me more than 5 minutes? What about your money? Will you give that to me? What about your kids? Will you surrender them to me? What about your job? Will you follow me at work? What about your free time? Can I get some of that? Are we willing to give these important things up to follow Jesus? In the Old Testament, we read the stories of Elijah and Elisha. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, we read about the time when Elijah came to select Elisha to be the next prophet of God. Now, when Elijah finds Elisha, he sees him out in the field, plowing the field with 24 oxen. During those times, if you had that many oxen, you had a pretty good farm. You had pretty good business going and probably had a lot of wealth. So what does Elisha do when Elijah comes up to him and says, you're chosen to be God's next prophet? Well, this is what Elisha says. He says, well, let me finish working on this field. And then I'm going to have to find somebody to train to take over my farming business. And then I need to go to the store to make sure I've provided everything for my family. And then, you know, I need to find a new place for my mother-in-law to live. And then I need to finish my education. So why don't you come back in a year or two, and then I'll be ready to be God's prophet. That's what he said, right? No, of course it's not. Here's what happened. Elisha immediately slaughters all 24 of his oxen and burns all of his farm equipment, and he goes and he becomes God's prophet. Elisha gave it all up. He didn't try to keep his farm business going. He held nothing back. Now, when we accept the invitation to follow Jesus, we are not just making him the top priority in our life. We are making him the only priority in our life. Jesus wants our complete attention. He wants our complete commitment. He wants more of our time than the office gets. He wants more of our devotion than our favorite sports team, our favorite television show gets. He wants more of our talents than the world gets. Because when we make those things a priority, we're showing that we aren't truly following Jesus. Now, we can do other things. You know, Jesus knows that we have to take care of our families and we have to work and that entertainment is good for us. But we can't have those as our priority. Jesus needs to be our priority. An example of that is the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, he spread the gospel, and he followed Jesus, but he also made tents. But the tent making never became his priority. The priority was always following Jesus and spreading the gospel. Now, one of the biggest differences between an admirer of Jesus and a committed follower is the level of commitment. I want to tell you a story about commitment. On February 15, 1921, something very interesting happened in a New York City hospital. A patient came in complaining of severe abdominal pain. The doctor takes a look at the patient and quickly diagnoses the problem. It's an inflamed appendix. This man needs to have his appendix removed. Dr. Evan O'Neill Kane is going to perform the surgery. And in his 37-year medical career, Dr. Kane has performed 4,000 appendectomies. And this surgery will be just like the rest of them, except for two unique things. The first uniqueness of the surgery is that this will be the very first time local anesthesia is used in surgery. At that time, general anesthesia was used in every surgery. But Dr. Kane was against this practice. He believed local anesthesia to be a better alternative and one that should be used. He was so committed to seeing local anesthesia used, he fought against the medical community. The medical community kept saying, no, general anesthesia is better. But Dr. Kane kept trying to find a patient who would be operated on using local anesthesia. But he couldn't find one until that February morning. This patient says, okay, Dr. Kane, you can operate on me using local anesthesia. So for the first time in medical history, local anesthesia is used. During the surgery, the patient only complains of minor irritation. Surgery is successful. 2 days in the hospital, the patient is released, goes home, and lives a normal life. The use of local anesthesia is successful. So successful, in fact, we still use it today. Now, I said there was two unique parts of this story. The first was the use of local anesthesia, and the second was the patient. The patient during the surgery was Dr. Kane. See, Dr. Kane operated on himself. He was so committed to seeing local anesthesia used, he was willing to operate on himself to prove his point. Now, that's some serious commitment. I don't think that I could ever operate on myself. But that's the type of commitment Jesus wants from us. He wants us to be willing to do whatever it takes to follow him. So I want to close today by asking you to consider this question. Am I willing to follow Jesus wherever? Am I willing to follow him even at home? Even at work? Am I willing to follow him in my entertainment choices and in my daily life? Am I willing to follow Jesus whenever, even if it's inconvenient for me, even if the times are difficult and there's something else I'd rather do? Am I willing to follow Jesus whatever he asks me to do? Whatever he asks me to give up, will I give that up? Am I willing to give up everything to follow Jesus? My hope is that everyone here today has decided to follow Jesus and is willing to follow him wherever, whenever, and whatever. But if you haven't decided to follow Jesus, I want to encourage you to make that decision to follow him today. There's never a better time than now to begin to follow Jesus. And if you're someone who has given your life to Jesus and would call yourself a follower of Jesus, are you fully committed to following him? Or do you look at your life and say, you know, I think I'm more of an admirer than a follower. I want to encourage you to take a stand today and say, today is the day that I become a fully committed follower of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you still call us today, that you still want us to follow you. Just pray that everyone here today that knows you and follows you, that they would be a committed follower, not just a partial follower. I pray that if there's anyone here today that has not made the decision to follow you, that they would make the choice to follow you today, to follow you with their whole life, not just part of their life. I pray that if there's anything in our life that we're holding back from you, that we would give that up to you, and that we would say, Jesus, you know I need to follow you in this part of my life. I know that it's wrong for me to hold this back. Just pray that we would, this week, go and meet our neighbors and let them know that we love you. Let our coworkers know that we're followers of you. That we would make changes in our life that need to be made to reflect the life of a Christ follower. And I pray this in your precious name. Amen.